Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Season 196, Episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist. It's a production of iHeartRadio. It's the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. In fact, it's Wednesday, August 4th, 2021. I am your host, Miles Gray, a.k.a. Oh, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I'm substitute teacher. Just hit the dab. Oh, man, I'm substitute teacher because I am the substitute teacher. And yeah, maybe I did hit a dab in my Honda Accord in the parking lot on my way to be a substitute for this American history class. But kids, I'm going to tell you something. You should read Howard Zinn just as a starting place. I know it's kind of heady for you because you're in sixth grade, but you should try it. Anyway, I'm thrilled to be joined, yes, by my fellow SoCal native, my fellow UCLA Bruin, my fellow lover of all foods that are Italian, my fellow genius. Oh, I'm not a genius. She's a genius. She's a comedian. She's a performer. She will hit you with that breath work, the best work. Please welcome my co-host Blair Psaki.
Oh, what's up, Miles?
What's up, Miles, Blair?
It's great to be back in the co-hosting director's chair. Mm-hmm. Jack's absence, back with you today, 2 days in a row, living Ooh. My fucking dream. God, it's great to be here.
You know, I was thinking after yesterday's episode, I kind of looked into like Spartan races, Tough Mudders, just to kind of see like where, if it makes sense for me. If it makes sense.
Oh my God, Jaquise is trying to get us wrapped up in something nasty.
Yeah, I know. But you know, I think the thing, where is it? Well, I don't know. I feel like I could organize a larger tournament of like barely in shape people in entertainment to do like the Chug Olympics, aka a Tough Mudder in LA or something.
Yeah, but, and I'll get wasted the night before as an excuse.
Just show up with your big ass sunglasses on, yeah. Those trademark big ass shades.
1.4 White Claws.
Ooh, okay. Well, before we get into the show, obviously we have a guest. And this guest, I like to say, is someone who has been like a day one. Okay, this man has been one of the first guests on this show. If you're a day one Zeitgang listener, you will recognize this man. Also, You right remember his antics from all the different driver's license photos that he did over the years? I damn sure remember that. That was probably the first time I even knew of this person. Or maybe you know him as someone who gave cocaine to rats when he was pursuing a doctorate in neuroscience, or just as a comedian. You know, that's the other big thing about him, too. He's a very hilarious man. Please welcome today's guest, Jono Zelay.
Oh, hey, thanks. Good to be here. I love that my still best credit is my DMV antics. I'm famous at the DMV. Catch me at any branch, local branch. I'll be coming through.
Oh, yeah. I love those. I remember very vividly. I was like, damn, I wish I had that kind of energy to do.
I love those, too, Jono. That was artistry.
Thank you. I did do a COVID one during the quarantine. I had a little extra hair going on as that's my medium to work with and taking silly driver's licenses. But it hasn't dropped yet. I want to save it till I'm actually doing shows again.
So stuff. Like, nice to know. You've been in the lab. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good to know.
Listen, like all the big blockbusters they put off for a year because no one could see them. I got to wait for the optimized right. time to drop my art.
Yeah, you're not going to do on a live-streamed comedy show. Fuck that.
No, please.
You know, you're learning from the mistakes of, like, HBO Max and the others. And Jono and Blair, you see each other? You are neighbors? I was like, you guys know each other? And Blair's like, oh, yeah, I know Jono. And Jono's like, oh, yeah, I see Blair. And you're quite literally in the same hood?
Yeah. Yeah. In Los Feliz?
I walk every... Well, no one from... Unless you're a benevolent psych gang, no one come find me, but... I do walk 5 miles a day, and then I see Jono around town, but I'm always like very engrossed in some cuckoo thing, and so I'm always shocked to like, whoa, you know.
Wait, what do you mean? The way you even did you embodied that, you look like you were hunched over like Smeagol with the Ring of Power. What do you mean if you're engrossed in something?
I was just gonna say Smeagol. It's so crazy. We are fucking co-hosting right now. Wow.
I love it. Hosting and co-hosting.
No, I just get really into my audiobooks. You know, sometimes I pop an edible and I'm just really in there internal.
Reading the Bible. I get it. Take it any way you can.
Preaching.
Get those verses.
And what, Jono, you're just jogging because you stay in shape, you're in fitness, you're getting ready for a Tough Mudder or something?
No, actually, all my joints are breaking down. I have every brace for every joint you could imagine. I'm mostly walking my dog because he needs to go outside and get those exercise steps in.
What kind of dog you got?
I have it's a Jack Russell Beagle mix. It's a Jacobi. His name is Larry. Oh yeah, he's an old man. He's an old curmudgeon, but he's a sweetheart.
Okay.
I think Danny and I actually saw your Jacobi with your GF yesterday.
Oh yeah, yeah. She mentioned.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Okay. Wait. I like how she said she mentioned, but really you're like, hey. Like it was just a very huge event, not very casual in passing. Okay. Well, good to know. Good to know that we're all friends here. As we normally are.
Miles, how long are you going to be in Hawaii for?
Just a couple more days. Then I'm back.
Okay. You're in Hawaii right now, Miles?
Yeah. I'm out here for a little bit just to cool my jets. But heaven. Really, still working. You know what I mean?
It's like, I know. I'm trying
that remote work.
3 hours earlier over there.
Yeah. Man. I mean, it's wild. Yeah, you wake up like way early. I mean, I wake up pretty early anyway, but it's interesting to get like... when you're on this clock, because like the East Coast is like 6 hours ahead. And you're like, whoa, this is a bit of a misalignment. But hey, it is what it is. But before we get into it and before we get to know you, Jono, we'll just give people a preview of what we're talking about today. First up, New York is going to be mandating vaccines. This is the first in the nation to say, or just across the board, New York City. They're saying, hey, you want to come to New York City and you want to fuck around and do some New York City shit? You need to be vaccinated. So we'll talk about that and the mayor's sort of thinking around that. We'll talk about Rudy Giuliani, speaking in New York. He was supposed to do an interview about 9/11, and then he suddenly turned it into all about him and his legal fees. But that's what Rudy Giuliani will do. But before all that, Jono, we got to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that reveals who you are, what you into, or maybe some freaky thoughts you were having?
Well, my recent search history that I looked at last night is Wallace Shawn, Princess Bride. For those unfamiliar, he's the bald-headed guy, plays Vicini. He's the guy who keeps saying, inconceivable,
or whatever. And doing like the poison drink-off,
exactly,
right?
With Inigo. Iocane powder. And the reason I've searched him is because my brother just had two identical twin boys a few weeks ago.
Congratulations.
And I feel like, thank you. And I feel like every baby looks like Wallace Shawn from The Princess Bride.
Oh my God.
Every baby looks like it's about to get into a duel of the wits with the man in black.
Yeah. And he has a very like cherubic sort of face. And it's funny, when you Google Wallace Shawn baby, there are so many, like, people are already doing it. Because I feel like it's like a trope that people are like, he just has the round, beautiful face of a newborn child.
Yeah. And he's the one, he's like one of those doctors that like used his own sperm to impregnate every woman in the IVF clinic.
They're like,
every baby looks like him.
All of them are Dr. Sean's children. Did you send this to your brother and say,
oh yeah, I like anytime anyone asks me for a picture of the twins, I just send them two pictures of Wallace Shawn.
How do the parents feel, the mother and father feel about the
my brother loves it. He agrees.
Yeah. Did you buy them two like matching little tweed suits to go
shit.
Oh yeah,
they could cosplay too. Like one can go as Vicini, one can go as the teacher from Clueless.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Give a little
epic
coffee.
Love story.
Epic love story. Oh my god. Did you see the way their legs are crossed towards each other? That's an unequivocal sex invite. There are so many things from Clueless. I was like, okay, so that's the law based on what Cher Horowitz just said. Okay, Ms. Geist. Okay, good to know that. I remember one time I tried to say in class, I left my cranberry CD in the quad, and like I thought people would immediately understand what I was saying, that reference from Clueless. No one did. And then the teacher was like, what are you talking about? And I had to just bail on it. I was like, nothing, never mind. I need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, no one here likes Clueless? What is something you think is overrated?
One thing I just learned recently is overrated is the Olympics. Olympics, not just because COVID has made everyone just abandon this year's Olympics, but it's one of those things that you just like come to find out that your whole life has been horrible and you're just now learning about it.
Right.
Just like the way that every Olympics has devastated whatever city it's gone through and left all these poor people in real despair and horrible. It should be the triumph of human spirit, and it's the exact opposite, which feels very typical.
Yeah, I think especially in like, you know, as people become more aware and more sensitive to these kinds of things, like you're starting to be like, yeah, man, this is a fucking nightmare. Like there was one guy, I've brought it up before, but there's like this one Japanese guy who was displaced twice because of the Olympics happening in Tokyo. For like once in the 60s and again for the 2020 games. And he's like, the fuck did I do to deserve this? I love the competition aspect of it. I think that's what's fucked up, is that the greed that surrounds the games completely obscures that and like makes it very bittersweet. Because part of me, like, I think all of us have, you know, on one level thought we could be an athlete one day, and you're just like, that's so cool. Like, I just think that's awesome that people can win gold medals. But the human suffering aspect, that's why I just say, keep it in one place. Have it in one place.
Yeah.
Over and over. Sure. What's your favorite event?
I like, my dad's a big track and field guy, so I guess I like those, like the decathlons and stuff, or the sprints.
Yeah.
The sprints are probably, because those are over in 10 seconds, like literally 10 seconds.
And
so you
don't
have to
devote
a whole day.
Yeah, and they remind you of being a kid, where it's just like, all right, fastest to the end of the block is the champion, you fuckwit, let's go. Shout out to the Italians who won their first 100 meter gold.
Thank you. I used to burn that asphalt.
Hey, that's right. Paisan, I forgot. Absolutely. And also in the high jump, let's not forget, in the high jump as well. I don't know if you saw that. The two high jumpers, they both topped out, I think, like 2 meters 37. And they could have done a jump off, but they were both like, can we just get two gold medals? And like the dude was sort of like, I guess if you want to, but I mean, like, do you want to? They're like, yeah, man, it's been a rough year. Like, if we both got gold, who gives a shit? And they were just hugging each other. And like the Italian dude was loving it. But again, like those are the things I can't help but watch. And then be like, it starts making me feel fucked up, because I'm like, but why does it have to be there? And then like nobody's there to enjoy it.
I know, it should be good. Like, it doesn't have to be this bad. And yeah. it's like, it should be just a cool experience for all the athletes and everyone watching, but it's, yeah.
Did you guys cover that story about how, I think it was long distance running, and one guy from one country recognized that the guy who had been in front of him the entire time didn't understand the language on the signs and was gonna go the wrong way and he would have won, and he told the guy the other way and
asked him
why he did it, and he said because it wouldn't have been a fair win, the guy was ahead the entire time. And those are the beautiful moments in sports where you like see the soul of people, and I was just like, that's so fucking beautiful.
See, if it was in that one city every single year, we could enjoy that wonderful experience and not have to like see some guy make a wrong turn into like some camp that they're like putting all the homeless people in to hide from the games and stuff. It's like
right. These just are, one wrong turn.
Yeah, we can absolutely overcome the evil elements of it. Just have to reform the Olympic Committee that's like kicking people out for weed. Right. But still displacing poor people around the world.
Or just being like, hey, let's collaborate with the World Health Organization and be like, yeah, don't worry about COVID. Just like they did with Zika in Brazil 4 years ago, or in 2016. But hey, that's what it is. Yeah, I really love sprinting. I used to do high jump in high school. It was terrible, but I love the event. And yeah, there is something about just watching, again, people fucking work their whole lives for something, even if it's as simple as just running 100 meters, but like watch that payoff. You can bottle that up. What's something you think is underrated, Jono?
Underrated is your parents' cable login. I think everyone is underappreciating all the good content your parents are giving you just by the fact that they haven't unsubscribed and cut the cable from their cable provider.
Yeah.
So we watch like 90% of the sporting events, even on TV, is just like, oh, we didn't have the CBS app. Well, let's just log in with our parents' stuff.
It's like, so. I guarantee I know it. It's the same email address and it's the same password for everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, truly, shout out to parents. Like, that's like, is that the final sort of umbilical cord that would be cut for someone to be fully independent? Is like,
I think,
because you ever
check
somebody, you're like, oh, you're really independent? Let me see your Netflix logins. Is it your email or is it your parents?
Yeah. I hate those people. I'm like, it's not your fucking business account I'm using, bitch. Why don't you go look in the mirror and with you and your passwords and emails?
Yeah, what are you a shill for Netflix? You want the corporate profits to go up? Come on.
Yeah, you Hulu, Disney Plus ass bitch.
Wow, you really like stealing, huh, from Mr. Netflix and Mr. Hulu? Wow, okay.
Yeah, how am I supposed to get my Pixar fix without my mom's Disney Plus account, okay?
Yeah, it doesn't feel right as an adult to pay for Disney stuff. I feel like parents should always be paying for Disney stuff. Like,
that's just mature. I can't be doing that.
Oh, you know what's funny is I recently let my dad use one of my logins, and it felt like I was almost like, you're welcome, son. You're welcome. Like, it really felt, I was like, in my mind, I was like, we're here. It's fully inverted. The relationship has inverted.
Hey, he passed the torch.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't really have any logins that I could use. You know, I mean, he paid my phone bill back in like college, so I'll remember that. So there was
my dad uses his iPad as a camera. So
does he wait? Like, he'll bring it everywhere? Like, it's his camera?
Yeah. Oh my! It is absolutely his camera. It's his camera. It is like, here's how much my dad uses his iPad as a camera. He used an iPad, filled up the entire memory with photos, and then instead of putting them anywhere, he just got another iPad. Like, he just he bought another iPad so he could start taking photos again.
As if we're like a disposable camera. Out of film.
This one flat one's a roll of film that I have to develop, but that's just gonna be
I love that
photo hard drive from now on.
Shout out all the iPad photographers. Let's take a quick break and pay some bills, and we'll be right back after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Vaccines, they're necessary, it turns out, to stem the spread of a pandemic and hopefully, you know, eradicate a pandemic altogether. New York City, if you remember, was probably one of the worst hotspots at the beginning of the lockdown. It almost, like, if you watch the news, you almost thought COVID only existed in New York. Just based on the amount of media attention. And again, because it's like an iconic city that just ground to a halt. And we were seeing, you know, just really, it was like a warning sign to people of like, if it gets out of control, this is what happens. Hospitals begin to overflow. We didn't even have room in the morgues to properly take care of the people that had passed away. And so because of that, I think Mayor de Blasio may have had that in the back of his mind, like many public health experts, when realizing we need to make sure that we don't experience another just catastrophic surge of this virus again. And I think the only way to do that is to really mandate vaccines. So de Blasio said, this is just sort of how he presented it at a press conference. The key to New York City, when you hear those words, I want you to imagine the notion that because someone is vaccinated, they can do all the amazing things that are available in New York City. This is a miraculous place, literally full of wonders. And if you're vaccinated, all that's going to open up to you. You'll have the key. You can open the door. But if you're unvaccinated, unfortunately, you will not be able to participate in many things. It's time for people to see vaccination as literally necessary to living a good and full and healthy life. And I was like, that sounds, it's in a way, I was like, wow, that's radical. But then I'm like, wait, that's because the bar is so all over the place that I'm like, what is, yeah, that actually, that's sensible. That's right. We need people to understand that that's how we're going to regain some stability is by treating vaccines as the norm.
Right. Yeah. And then there were a few other news stories about Cuomo today, but
that was de Blasio. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. OK.
I mean, yeah, well, you'll have heard about that in the Trends episode that played yesterday. But sure. Yeah, I mean, his like defense of like, but I kiss everybody in the mouth. It's like, whoa, that's fucking
Okay.
Blair, are you offended that as an Italian, he was using your culture as a shield?
Yeah, I am. But, you know, what are you going to do? Some of these people take things too far, I guess, even though they are Italian, I guess.
Do you touch faces? It's been so long since I've seen you in person.
Yeah, I don't really touch people. I'm surprisingly introverted. You wouldn't guess it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Actually, whenever you pull up, you always pull up like mysterious in person. You're always like, hey, what's up? Like, yeah, you good? Like, you take a second to warm up, and then you warm up, and I'm like, there's Blair.
That's so true.
Listen, whenever I see her in the neighborhood, she's trying to duck into a bush.
She always got a beanie on and glasses, yes. Looking like the Unabomber on mushrooms.
Wait, I am really sorry that I ruined the vaccine thing by mistaking de Blasio for Cuomo. I do think that is a radical statement, and I know that's going to piss all these people off, but I do think, like, we need to get more aggressive with it for, like, the safety of our evolution and going forward, so we don't just have many years lost and many more, like, millions of people dead.
Yeah. Are you talking about from touching faces?
From the vaccine,
oh, you said vaccine. Oh,
DJ
you brought
Miles.
It back. I was like,
one in the same, Miles. That's
no,
how you spread COVID.
I was embarrassed that I brought it off to a tangent, so
oh,
I tried
no,
to steer
it. Not at
it
all.
Back.
I more liked the investigation of Blair and like the phases of Blair. Because arrival takes a second.
Listen,
and then we get Blair. But yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense. I mean, this is the first in the nation sort of mandate. That essentially saying, like, look, any indoor things you want to do, dining, fitness, entertainment, like, you are going to need to be vaccinated. And that's really the path that we need to be on. You have to communicate that this is how you access certain activities. You don't have a right to infect people just because you are uncomfortable with the vaccine. If you don't want to, go ahead. No one's saying you can't buy food and you can't do these other things, but you have to do a lot of outside stuff if you're not vaccinated. And I think because things like this weren't mandated, it allows this sort of middle area to exist in people's minds, especially for people who are vaccine resistant or hezzy or anti, that because there's like this gray area, that it just sort of allows this thing to be like, well, it's normal to not be vaccinated, so why am I not being able to do these other things? It's like, no. Like, this is for the greater good. Then we've had to do this many times throughout humanity. It's just that you probably don't remember it, or based on your media diet, you've completely recontextualized what this actually is.
Of course, yeah, and this is a total win-win, because, like, not only is it the right public health decision where it's going to keep people from getting and contracting COVID and spreading it, but the people who are affected by it, the ones who are unvaccinated, they will hate it. They get to do a lot of victimhood, like the performative, like, oh, this is where I get to feel oppressed, and like that's exactly what they wanted out of this whole thing. So mm-hmm. It's like they're enjoying this too. They get to do that thing where they're like putting the Jewish star on their cell, doing the, like,
yeah,
the Holocaust,
some people did
Holocaust
that. Yeah.
Play.
And you're like,
yeah, like,
no, I don't know about that. People who have a very bizarre idea of oppression, mm-hmm. you tend to see that when they go into, like, self-victimization mode. And you're like, I don't know if that's so okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, the virus has killed, like, 1.5 times as many people than World War II did. And, like,
yeah.
So, like, they're saying, in World War II, like, the country actually did have to sacrifice, like, they're like, the Oscars those years were, like, made out of wood because they couldn't spare the metal. And, like, today if that happened, they'd be like, well, listen, as an American, I have a constitutional right to scrap metal, and I don't have to turn it in. I have a metal diet, and I can't give it up because
I'm going
to
give up my grandmother's pewter trays? No, that's not happening. Are you kidding me? Also, I have a right to drink out of a light-up mug at Buffalo Wild Wings. Don't tell me about an LED shortage for the effort. The fuck.
Damn.
But yeah, that is kind of where we're at.
I see some of these people from a few people that I still follow from high school, and they like repost like liberal agenda, crazy liberal like accounts on Instagram, and it's so terrifying. They're what you just said, their media diet. And I mean, I'm the other side saying that, but I just, it's like, it's science.
Yeah. Well, I'm always curious to ask people, like, at what point do you extend help to somebody? Like, especially like evangelicals too, because I mean, I went to, you know, Lutheran K-8 in a Catholic high school. So I had been like hearing all of these ideas about what it means to be a good Christian or someone who believes in follower of Christ and do as Christ does. And he was taking care of the people who the rest of society deemed was not well or whatever. Like where that mentality is now, because when you ask them like, oh, do people deserve healthcare? It's almost like, well, not if they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
the fuck is that?
Well, I think, Miles, what you're failing to realize is that all that talk about Jesus and leprosy was he was actually just spreading leprosy throughout to make all the weak people.
Right, right, right. But because he was Jesus and he didn't acknowledge his like supreme immune system as the Son of God, he was like, I don't know what the problem is. Can't be me. And you're like, it's because you're Jesus, dude. Like, don't. But he should still be practice social distancing.
Wait, I saw this great tweet yesterday in regards to that by Travis Akers, and it said, I want to see an episode of Undercover Boss with Jesus in some evangelical churches.
Oh, God,
and I loved it. I fucking loved it because it's just like people just manipulate everything to their own personal agenda, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting clips of right-wing pastors. I don't know if you saw that clip of this guy, Greg Locke, who has like this like church where he just screams all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to play a clip really quick so you understand just sort of like how he's even presenting things to his parishioners.
I've been right about all of it! We've been right about all of it!
He's talking about COVID.
Yes.
Why does it seem like WWE? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's literally in a circus tent.
Don't win in the end.
This is pro wrestling
right
now.
Win in the end.
He's just getting wound up over the idea of like why we don't need to get vaccinated, you know, like what all this stuff is, who's doing what, all these conspiracies, and that's why he's saying, I was right about everything.
Yeah. So all this fear bull crap is that. It is bull crap, say amen. I know you never in a church where a pastor told you to say amen after I said bull crap.
But I am not a pastor, and this is not a church, and this is not a religion. I am a huckster.
Terror.
Yeah, he then goes on to say, like, only crack-smoking, demon-possessed leftists think that Biden is the president. So, you know, a normal one.
Well, that is most of the country. Crack-smoking, demon-possessed leftists had more popular vote than actually the other guys. So,
right, yeah. What can you do? Yeah, it's like, again, this is depending on where you are, certain people might be saying, yeah, science is good or the vaccine will help keep you safe. Other people might be like, the demon crack smoking left Biden.
Do you think they listen to this podcast? Do you think Greg listens to this podcast and thinks that we're crack smoking leftists?
He does. He DMs me every day and he says, I can hear your crack pipe in the background. You demonic Biden leftist. And I'm like, Biden leftist?
Ooh,
I don't.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you're
sir.
Like, that's not me, dog. Okay.
I'm like, bruh, check your definitions, bruh. And he's like,
you will respect me. You will respect the Lord.
I'm like, no, I won't, bro. And I think Jesus was just an organizer, if anything, if he was real, bruh.
Yeah.
You will respect my bullcrap. Amen.
Amen. And amen to that.
So that we will win in the end. It's like, why are you talking about wins and losses? You're a religion, not a basketball team.
I mean, but I think that's how you do that, though, right? Is you can keep this in your mind about how, you know, in the divine, in the afterlife, that's when you're gonna really be getting your laughs off, because you will be seated at the right hand of God in the throne of kingdom of heaven.
Oh, God.
He is right that more of them will be in heaven after this year than everyone else.
Yeah, with sort of that attitude. And honestly, the video is creepy because it was a circus tent they were in. It was like a red and white striped tent. And I was like, either someone's like fumigation business had a few extra tents that you were setting up, or that's like a legit circus tent.
Isn't it crazy how like with evolution... I was going to sound like a stoner, but like,
dude, what's the opposite of truth, dude?
Humiliating. But like what we just heard was like this grandmaster performance of just like one human being trying to make people feel overcome by them and their like agenda. And that's been going on forever. Like this sort of grand theatrics of people trying to grasp for power, even on the small level or large level. And like, You think that we would evolve out of these like very petty, small-minded, smaller self things, but they keep going on forever. Humankind does not change in that way.
Is the healthy version doing stand-up?
Oh, yeah. No, look, Miles, I just want to point out that...
When you're commanding an audience up there?
Oh my God, Miles.
Overwhelming them with your energy.
Oh my God, Miles, the fucking nerve. You think that I haven't considered... Stand-up comedy is a mental illness, so nothing less, okay? Look, I know, I'm aware. I've sat with it before. Unwell.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to move on, since we were sort of on the topic of New York before we got into the ideas of salvation in Christ, to someone else who's actually very interested in the ideas of salvation in Christ is Rudy Giuliani, because he's been a very bad man.
What a man. If you,
I mean, look, he hitched his wagon to the most radioactive star in Donald Trump, and for a moment, he was riding high. Like, you could tell he was just like, I'm that guy. I'm with the president. I'm gooned up. What are you going to do? Fuck that. Fuck laws. And, then, you know, he was even jacking his bone in a Borat movie. I mean, he thought he was at the top of the world. And then Trump was no longer president. And all the shit that he did, like push Ukraine to like smear Biden and get involved in the presidential race, or, you know, try to get the election overturned by pushing the big lie, which got him sued by Dominion voting systems. It's all now become like one gigantic legal tidal wave, and it's about to crush him. The thing is, when you have all this legal exposure, there's a lot of bills that you got to pay for lawyers and things like that. And no one has been giving any money to his little GoFundMe for like help me defend myself against the crack smoking demons leftist sort of like campaign that he had. And he's been telling close friends like he is close to going like fully broke. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, because this is the same guy that quit a job to try and make it look like his income was diminished so he would owe less in spousal support. So, you know, we'll take that for what it's worth. But on top of all that, Trump has been sitting on $82 million that he just straight grifted off of supporters and just been spending on himself. And a lot of the Trump ally people are like, what about like helping the dude who fucking quite literally was just fucking shit up to try and get you in office, and it only just destabilized the country? It's quiet.
Oh, okay, Miles. You think that glam team is cheap? It's not. Okay. That is a lot of work. A lot of parties work very hard on his look. Okay.
Who's glam team? Trump?
Trump, yeah.
Doesn't he like, but I feel like he's like one of those guys who hates being like touched. So he would like do it all himself. Like, cause you know, the application looks, I mean, like the way he puts it on his eyes and stuff, you know, he's not really blending. Or do we think there's a HMU team there, or it's all self-applicated?
Look, my guess is it's not self-applicated.
Okay, I like that. Look, king rule number one, someone else puts your bronzer on before you make a speech.
That's for sure.
I do like the idea of a team coming in wearing hazmat suits to come do his hair. Keeping it safe. But yeah, I feel bad for Rudy because he, you know, he did all that dirty work, as you said. Now he's not getting support from Trump. And like, listen, I was with Trump for the whole thing. And now to find out he's a bad friend... Come on, like that's the last straw. You can't treat your friends like that.
I just thought it was a coincidence every other time people are like, I went in business with him and he stole from me, or I worked for him and he never paid me. It's not like there's a trail of evidence. Yeah.
Wait, also, the Giuliani scene in Borat, I am not over that also. And another thing I can't believe in this country is how much shit is literally video evidence that nothing ever transpires from. I mean, like, can you imagine what is happening? Like, that was with a film crew. Like, what would happen? What goes on in non-media sanctioned interviews?
A lot. I mean, you look at the state of everything, like whether it's, you know, sexual assault or racism and things like that. It's like, you truly, it's like, well, do you have 4K video at 60 frames per second?
It doesn't matter.
That we can look at? Yeah. And even then, half the time, it doesn't matter.
This was wide release to the entire country. No problem. Yeah. He's just still.
Yeah.
It's free. It wasn't even behind a paywall. This is evidence. But yeah. So Mayor Giuliani, former Mayor Giuliani, He's also been kind of in the news because obviously this is going to be the 20th anniversary of September 11th, and he was mayor at the time, and he was at Ground Zero, and he was talking with local news to be like, hey, you know, what a moment for you and the country. Like, let's reflect on that. He didn't talk about that at all. Let's hear what he instead chose to talk about when he was asked about the significance of the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, Christ.
I committed no crime. And if you think I committed a crime, you're probably really stupid because you don't know who I am.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani seems fixated on declaring his innocence.
We've seen you commit a crime on camera. Into whether he was
working as an unregistered lobbyist for Ukrainian officials.
Is the guy who put the mafia in jail, terrorists in jail, Ed Koch's commissioners in jail, and the worst people on Wall Street, I'm not going to file? I mean, that's just crazy.
Giuliani says he was only working for President Trump as his lawyer, voicing frustration about the FBI searches of his home and law office.
This is where it gets real good.
Misguided and politically motivated.
I mean, I'm more than willing to go to jail if they want to put me in jail. And if they do, they're going to suffer the consequences in heaven. I'm not. But I didn't do anything wrong.
Again, baby, send it back up to God. Yeah, maybe I'm on Earth, according to your Earth realities, a criminal.
I'm more than willing to go to jail.
Okay, great.
Listen, they're going to afterlife jail or hell, as they sometimes call it.
Right, exactly. We'll see where he ends up. But yeah, that seems to be on his mind, even though he's there to do an interview about one of the most significant events in the last 20 years.
Yeah, what
dude, I'm willing to go
to
jail, but heaven, they're going to take it up with heaven and the angels. That's the thing I'm saying, dude. I threw Ed Koch's commissioners in jail anyway.
What a beautiful 9/11 memorial speech. Incredible.
Absolutely. Okay, and before we go to another break, I just want to bring up Spirit Airlines because they had a bit of an issue earlier this week. I don't know if you've flown and people have, I think we've all experienced Spirit Airlines at
I
one
haven't.
Point. Oh, you haven't? Okay. It's wonderful.
Have you both have?
I think once I took either Spirit or Frontier. I think everyone should try at least once just to remind yourself why you should never do it.
People always like just crack jokes about it because it's like a budget airline, blah, blah, blah. But they've really been having a lot of operational problems. Like a couple days ago, they had to cancel 277 flights, which was about 36% of its schedule. And then 159 were delayed, which is about 20% of its schedule. So overall, 56% of their flights were fucked up. And some they would say is like, it was weather, but it's also not weather too. Like there's also staffing issues, and it looks like Spirit like kind of tried to ramp up their business really quick again without having the proper personnel to actually like facilitate having all these flights move around. So on top of that, with all these flights delayed, because they're like a low-cost carrier, they don't have any of these things that are like interline agreements like with other airlines, which is normally the thing that'll happen. So like if you have a delay or a cancellation, like there's a way to remedy that because it's like, oh, we have relationships with other airlines to sort of sort this out. So that's like the inherent risk with Spirit Airlines. So cut to many airports, especially around the Southeast, like in Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and then in San Juan, Puerto Rico, people were fucking stranded. And there was like sort of anecdotal information that the Spirit Airlines staff was like slowly retreating from like the desks to help customers. And we're saying like, we might need to like sneak out the back because like we have nothing to tell people. And like the situation is just getting really, really tense. So you can see a situation where you have people who are like, I can't make my connecting flight because you just canceled it. What can I do? This line's 3.5 hours for me to even speak to someone. At that point, what flights are there? And then on top of it, you have agents slowly like doing the Homer Simpson bush gif where they're like, sorry, I'm a backup into this bush now. And it just sucks because at the end of the day, like as much, you know, you see how people get at airports. Like it's always the ticket agents that are going to get all this shit when it's not like they're like, I don't run Spirit Airlines.
Yeah.
I'm working for them. It just looked all kinds of bad.
Well, I keep seeing these articles saying that like people just in general are getting way more unruly. And I've seen this a little bit at comedy shows too, where it's like, oh, you guys have so much pent up energy in you from being inside for a year and a half that like some of you forgot how to act in public. And then they keep saying all of this like bubble inside people of stress is like bursting in public in ways that it wasn't really before, in like certain, especially in certain common spaces where there's like social agreements that you don't act that way. And now all these like these flight attendants are like guardians of the galaxy. Yeah, and this guy's like, oh, you didn't let me touch your tits? I'm gonna fucking lose my, you know,
my
like...
My parents are worth $2 million.
Yeah.
I saw that clip. I was like, what the fuck is this guy saying? And he got duct taped to the seat.
Which is so hysterical, by the way.
Yeah, it's just wild because there's stress everywhere, you know, like whether that's people that are traveling, right? You don't, they could be spread thin financially and they're having to be on a flight where they don't even want to... You know, like maybe it's the travel they're doing is like stressful. They may have to go take care of somebody. And then like, you know, a lot of people have all kinds of stressors that is not just apparent on the surface. Like, and I think the pandemic has really put a lot, again, like to your point, a lot of pressure on people from all different kinds of sides. And I think unfortunately in America, we have this terrible habit because everyone says the customer is always right. It's like in these customer service interactions are like people just sort of take advantage of this idea to be like, well, I'm just going to indulge my anger right now and just direct it at this person.
I hate that.
This feels like the venue for that.
Like every travel situation is stressful. Everyone's going through that and have that pent up stress, as Brad was talking about. But like, and if they interact with Spirit Airlines, Spirit Airlines is like a, like an American Ninja Warrior gauntlet of stress where like every single thing is designed to make you stressful. So, of course, it's just going to be an explosion of horrible behavior on both sides.
That makes me so mad when people lose it in public, because it's like, suppress that shit like the rest of us. Okay, we're mad we're on fucking Spirit Airlines. Dramos just said the Frontier suspended the flight attendant who duct taped that creep, and that person is suspended when that man was causing danger and injury to the employee who had no one to defend her from being sexually assaulted.
To be fair, though, she did violate the protocol. The normal protocol is to get in a knife fight to the death on a Frontier airline. That's how you have to establish your dominance. If you want to keep your flight attendant position, you need to defeat them in one-on-one combat.
If I were JetBlue, I'd be calling and hiring that guy, because that's the type of shit. That's the type of shit we need in the planes now, as everyone's losing their fucking mind.
Or there's like some viral duct tape company that's like, hey, we'd love to like give you the face of our duct tape right now. The hero.
The flight attendant presentation beginning is like, here's the seatbelt thing, here's the life vest, and here's the ball gag we'll use if you guys try to start fights with us.
Oh, and that's the nice one. We have another one that's a wooden dowel with a bunch of dried blood on it with a bunch of chicken wire that we'll just wrap around the back of your head, too. There's that one, too.
You know, every once in a while when you get like a really bitchy flight attendant who loves their 5 minutes up top and they have like all these jokes and like they really want you to know, like, you know, I'm not bothered by you and I won't be. And like, I would love if like some flight attendants start like working that shit in into their like speech up top. A lot of comedians, I feel like, hate when they hear flight attendants do jokes, but I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they're getting their time to shine right now.
And I feel like on Southwest, I feel like that was one of the first airlines where people were like casual enough to like talk some shit. Like, especially if you took that flight on Southwest from like Burbank to Vegas. Like,
oh,
that
hell,
was just
I
joke fest.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of jokers on there. Yeah, a lot of jokers on that plane.
It should also teach some comedians some empathy, because in every comedy show, there's obviously one person who doesn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, of course, like, this is what it feels like when you're sabotaging one person's night with your jokes. So, little payback.
Well, comedy is a mental illness, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask more about that when we talk about this other story coming up after the break. So, let's pay some bills real quick. We'll be right back after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. I want to talk about a couple of things. First, The Weeknd, the man that has made some of the sexiest music from the 2010s. He's realized that he, in fact, doesn't want to be high for this, because he said he's kind of given up drugs. In a recent GQ interview, he said, he confirmed, he still drinks occasionally, smokes weed, but as for other drugs like coke, evoked in the song Can't Feel My Face, he's not doing that anymore. So, quote, no, drugs were a crutch. It was me thinking that I needed it and not doing the work to figure out how not to need it. And I've spent the last few years realizing that and thanking God that I don't need it, because for a lot of people, it's hard to shake it. I knew I didn't want it. He calls it being sober light. And I'm just curious, too, because, you know, we're in being in creative industries, comedians, musicians, what have you. There are a lot of people that I feel like do insist on like being drunk or like getting high to like come up with their ideas and things like that. And I don't know, just and part of me is like, I'm glad to see you realizing that, because I remember there was a time when I was like, I can only make music if I'm so high off my face. I don't know what's happening. Like, as if I was in some other like transcendent space where like things were making sense. Sometimes it's good just to jar my thinking, but not to the point where I used to think, because I think I was just modeling my shit after like shit I'd read on the internet about other artists who are like, yo, this guy was so high the whole time. But I don't know. I'm curious to know your perspective, especially because I know like I myself have been like, oh, maybe it's good to like drink before I go on stage or something.
Listen,
like that.
This was my PhD thesis was in cocaine addiction. So like, I feel like I can say with some good authority that you, one, should never do to cocaine, but if you do, only in your 20s. You can't go into your 30s still, you know,
like partying like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, it's dark. Like,
yeah, no, it's very...
Because, like, when I see people do that shit, I'm like, dude, we're old, bitch. Like, like yeah. I'm putting sunscreen on my hands and wearing wrist guards during sex. Like, We do not need to be doing this. I am. Please stop. I'm humiliated by you.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this shit. Yeah. But I also love The Weeknd. It's just so funny to me where he's like, look, GQ, like I want to make an announcement. From now on, I am only going to stay high and drunk. I am not going to be hitting the hard
flying
stuff.
Off cocaine.
Okay. Nah. Look, I am taking it down. It's a new me.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't need to do all. I don't need my face to be numb to come up with ideas anymore.
Yeah, look, I'm different, okay? I wake up and I just hit a bottle of tequila and take down an eighth
of weed.
Face
like three blunts.
Yeah, it sounds like he like got paid to make this announcement by White Claws. Like, listen, addiction's a problem. That's why I'm sticking only with alcohol, which is paying for all.
Pivot to the
tours.
Claw. Also, yeah. Check out new White Claw weed. They're also in the cannabis business. You're like, wait, hold on, what the fuck?
Like, as far as marijuana consumption, my rule has always been it's only really majorly after the sun goes down. And usually just like a mild gummy or something. I can't really smoke because I'll lose my voice in one hit. But it doesn't help me creatively. I know it helps other people, but for me, it's more like I guess comedy, you need to be quick and fast and all those things. But maybe it helps musicians or like a painter.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, because like, I mean, you don't have to like nail the delivery of a joke if you're just like playing bass or like strumming a guitar or something. Like, it's so much muscle memory and just like truly, like, I don't, for lack of a better word, just vibing up there, you know.
Oh,
what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know what, I love vibing on the stage.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oof.
Did you ever like drink to like loosen up to go on stage, like early on, any of y'all, or you always just kind of, or do you have rules about going on stage like fully sober because you've had experiences where you're like, that did not go well?
Yeah, every time I drink more than two, I start slurring my words. Like, after a long set, it just gets sloppier and sloppier. And then with weed, I tried it like once, and then like my timing was way off because it like does slow you down a little bit. So I felt like I was watching myself perform. And like I was like, worse than that was afterward. Like, the set went apparently fine, but like I spent 2 hours in a corner after the show saying, why was everyone laughing at me?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's just super paranoid.
Jono, yeah, you're at a stand-up show.
My first 3 years of stand-up, I was, I think, drunk the whole time. One, it was terrifying. Plus, I was just in my 20s in New York.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, but now I don't really drink very much, just in general. I rarely drink. Or if I do.
And if you do, it's 1.3.
Yeah, I just have like one drink, two max. Mm. And like, that is a fun way to go on stage. But I will say, the times that I have been drunk on stage, it's like I'm having so much fun. I'm not really like that concerned with how it's going. And a lot of times it does go well, but I could also think it's going much better than it is. So you don't know. You can see how like a famous people get in deep with like addiction, because they're at like such a level where there's so much money and so much riding on it that they need to deliver a certain like quality of product. And then you can see how that could slip so easily, because you could think that you're doing better than you are, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing like cocaine to sort of misread how well you're performing at something, or what your outward energy is like.
Yeah.
Or even like when you're... To your point about being famous, you know, you have so many sycophants and like yes people around you. They'd never be like, hey, maybe that was kind of an L tonight. They're like, that was great. But yeah.
Until they lock you in a closet and they're like, you need to quit because I have to pay for my boats.
But yeah, that's good to know. So yeah, Blair and Jono, they've taken the journey and they're sober light.
Just like The Weeknd.
As The Weeknd would see. Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
I mean, that could be another rule, is just only on the weekends.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Do you think in a couple months you're like, we saw that video of you like doing a bunch of Nas balloons backstage? He's like, okay, well, those are like whippets. You can buy that at a store. So like, what's the problem here? Okay.
Yeah, I was really in just like health mode back when I did that GQ article. You know how you get on that?
Yeah, you know. The summer was ending. You're just kind of thinking about ending the year strong.
Yeah.
Going sober light.
It's the post-COVID cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all those toxins.
Yeah, I'll just stop doing my evil hard drugs. All right, well, Jono, thank you so much for joining us today and coming back to the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you, hear you, see you, hear ye, see ye?
I'm at Jono Zalay, J-O-N-O, and then Z-A-L-A-Y on all social media. This weekend, I'll be in Asheville, North Carolina, and the weekend after that, I'll be in Bristol, Tennessee, and in Atlanta between those two. So this will be my first tour post-COVID. So
all right.
In the South, come check me out. I'm also in Knoxville and Birmingham, doing a whole little tour. I'm spreading some jabs down in the South.
Yeah. Couple of jabs.
And Asheville is like, gang, go pull up to Jono's show. You know, we got folks out in North Carolina too. And what's a tweet that you've been enjoying? Some active social media that you've been appreciating?
My friend Rob Hayes had this great tweet about, like, here it is. I find it ironic that the system is being used to ban critical race theory. One day when these laws are reversed, these laws will be taught as current examples. It's like, so you're true. you're doing the thing that you're going to be.
No, that's what's happening. Yeah. More on that later. Okay, I guess in the history books. But who knows? They might outlaw history or the concept of remembering things more than a week ago something.
Listen, we're willing, like, white people are willing to learn about black history right up until the point where they have a role in it.
Right, exactly. it's like, oh, that's great. George Washington Carver did that. It's like, okay, let's talk about redlining. Red, white, who? No. Yeah.
That's colorism. We can't talk about what colors lines
are. Okay, that's reverse racism, actually. Yeah. If you make me aware of systemic oppression, that's reverse racism.
Yeah.
Blair, how about you? Where can people find you, follow you, and what's a tweet that you've been liking?
Oh, my God, Zeitgang. My best friends in the entire world. You can find me, as always, at Blair Socci, BlairSocci, on Twitter and Instagram. And what I would like to remind you, please buy tickets to my show September 16th. I'm headlining the Bell House in New York, and I really want to sell it out, and I would love to see my fucking Zeitgang there.
Go.
When I splash out, and I'm going to have some really cool guests like Joe Pera and Conor O'Malley and Rosebud Baker, so come out. And then a tweet I like, one of my favorite people on Twitter, maybe my favorite all-time tweeter, Blaine Kapach, my friend, said it was just a silly tweet, but it made me laugh. Video killed the radio star, then turned the gun on itself.
Blaine is one of the all-time best joke writers
ever. I love him
so. Good. Some tweets I like, at Hunk Tears tweeted, I didn't know the word horny before the movie Austin Powers. I asked my mom what it meant, and she explained lust to me. I had known about sexy thing as an aesthetic before, but Austin Powers introduced me to the concept of sexual desire as a human state. Stupid. Overly wordy tweet about it, but I love to see it. Another one is from, past guest Roy Wood Jr., at Roy Wood Jr., tweeted, because New York is mandating vaccines, he just posted this picture of Jason Statham as like a chef in Chinatown, like fighting this dude. And it says, when a patron declines to show proof of vaccination, the chef kills him. But the patron was a mob boss. As goons descend on the store, the chef defends himself using the skills he learned as a Navy SEAL British MI6 Spetsnaz. Jason Statham is Riley Pavchenko in Vax On, Vax Off.
That's so funny.
And then another
That's great.
It's a cartoon where with an anthropomorphized baggie of weed with a little bit of weed in it and a person waving its finger. The top it says, say no to drugs. And the little baggie of weed is saying, maybe you should save the rest for another time. And the person's going, no. And that was tweeted by at O-S-H-X-T-F-E. So shout out to Faye for that one. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. You can find that on twitch.tv/420dayfiance. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website where we post our episodes and our footnotes. There we go. Thank you so much. Where we post the episode and obviously the song we write out on. Before we tell you what that song is, I want to tell you that The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them things for free. Now, the song we're going to write out on, I want to do something that will make us feel light, bouncy, put some pep in our step, make our big toe shoot up in our boot. And it's a track by this band called Duran Jones and the Indications. I had just started listening to this group. They're really dope. They're like a group of guys who, you know, started making music in Indiana in a basement. And they were in college, they put out an LP, but their vibe is like very much like jungle, like sort of this disco, funky soul sort of energy. So it's really upbeat. And the track is called Wichu, which is spelled W-I-T-C-H-O-O. This is Duran Jones and the Indications with Wichu. And I hope it makes y'all just feel light. You know, until next time, which will be later today, we'll tell you what's trending, but then we'll see you tomorrow. Hope you guys take care of each other, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.